إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fourth session dealing with the topic maqasid al-hajj, yani the goals and objectives of the pilgrimage, and those things which a person should be striving to achieve during the performance of hajj. And the author of our book is Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And our topic tonight are the next two objectives, goals and objectives, yani the sixth and seventh goal and objective that the Sheikh mentions concerning the important things that one should be trying to achieve during the performance of Hajj. And as we said, yani again and again and again, yani that these goals and objectives, for the most part, are generally not, yani for the most part, these goals and objectives are not limited to the person performing pilgrimage. Rather, most of them are applicable to every Muslim in our daily life, in the acts of worship that we do on a regular basis. Before we discuss the two objectives or goals of Hajj that we want to mention tonight, the sixth and the seventh, we want to look at the questionnaire study guide from the previous lecture number three, to review some of the points that we covered last week. The first question, list the first five maqasid, goals or objectives of Hajj, in the order mentioned by the author. In the order mentioned by the author. Now, the first five goals or objectives. Now, Musa. Tahqiq al-tawheed, yani the realization of tawheed. Now. Naam, al-fawz bi ridha Allah, yani to successfully achieve the pleasure of Allah. Wal-najat min al-nar, yani it's part of the second one. Naam. And the third one, yani somebody else. Third one. Anybody know any another one? Naam. Mustafa. Okay, taqwa Allah, naam. To achieve the taqwa of Allah. Naam, consciousness, fear of Allah, yani obedience to Allah, compliance with His commands and prohibitions. Naam. And a fourth one? Huh? Iqamatu dhikrillah. Naam, the establishment of the remembrance of Allah. And the fifth one, the last one that we mentioned last week? Strengthening Iman. Strengthening Iman. Taqwiyat al-Iman. So we can see if we look at these things, yani the realization of Tawheed, earning the pleasure of Allah, yani the taqwa of Allah, achieving taqwa of Allah, establishing the remembrance of Allah, and all of these things, to the last of them, strengthening Iman, are fundamental goals and objectives in the life of a Muslim. Not just for the person performing Hajj. Yani every Muslim should be trying to achieve Tawheed, should be trying to strengthen the Iman, should be achieving, yani trying to establish the remembrance of Allah and the taqwa of Allah, and seeking the pleasure of Allah in everything that we do and everything that we say. So these, you can see that these goals that the Shaykh has listed here as being yani very, very important, fundamental goals and objectives for the person performing Hajj, that they are not limited to the person performing Hajj, rather, they are goals that we should have consciously in our mind, in the forefront of our mind every day as Muslims. And he's seeking to establish Tawheed, to seek the pleasure of Allah. These are things that a Muslim is in need of all the time. So this is yani a point that we want to continually remind ourselves of, so that we don't imagine that these are goals and objectives just for the person on Hajj. However, for the person on Hajj, yani who's going to be there for a limited amount of time, a few days, a week or so, or a little more, يعني it's important, incumbent that they have these goals clearly established in the forefront of their mind so that they're actually striving and struggling and making every effort possible during the day and during the night, during the whole time of the pilgrimage, to try to achieve these matters. So that their life actually will be transformed and they will come back in a different condition than they left with. Question number two, mention the author's two opening statements which show the superiority of the dhikr of Allah over other righteous deeds. It's two opening statements at the beginning of this topic last week. Two opening statements. Anybody remember any of them? Either of them? Naam.
Said that indeed all the righteous deeds are legislated for the purpose of dhikr.
Naam, that all righteous deeds, every righteous deed has been legislated for the purpose of establishing the remembrance of Allah. Yani every deed that Allah has legislated of worship, its main purpose is to establish remembrance of Allah. Naam. And the second statement that he said, that shows the superiority of dhikr of Allah over other deeds, naam.
Also, the person can get closer to Allah.
Uh-huh.
The most thing that the person can get closer to Allah is through remembrance.
Naam, naam, naam. ما تقرب متقرب. Yani there's no person who is seeking to get near to Allah with any deed that will be equal to or like the dhikr of Allah. There's no deed that a person can do for nearness to Allah that's better than the dhikr of Allah. And these two statements the Shaykh makes in opening the topic of the importance of this goal and objective, the establishment of the remembrance of Allah in the life of a Muslim, especially during the Hajj. Question number three, mention a dalil from the Quran for the author's first opening statement. That is, that every good deed has been legislated to establish the remembrance of Allah. Mention a dalil from the Quran for this first opening statement as it relates to Salat and the Dhikr of Allah. As it relates to Salat and the Dhikr of Allah. Anybody remember this ayat? Naam. The ayat is in Surah Al-Qa, 20th Surah 14th ayat. Naam, Ibrahim. Naam, wa aqim as-salat li dhikri. Yani Allah commanded us to establish the Salat for what purpose? Yani li dhikri, for the purpose of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a clear indication, and we read something from the tafsir last week concerning this particular ayat, where many of the scholars said that even though salat is mentioned here, salat is the most important of acts that have been established for establishing the remembrance of Allah. Otherwise, all acts of worship are legislated for this purpose, the establishment of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number four, mention a dalil from the sunnah for the author's first opening statement. Yani, the previous question, a dalil from the Quran, and now a dalil from the sunnah for this opening statement that every righteous deed has been legislated for the purpose of establishing the remembrance of Allah. But this time, a dalil from the sunnah as it relates to tawaf and sa'i and rami. As it relates to tawaf and sa'i and rami. Now,
نعم.
From Aisha رضي الله عنها. نعم.
إنما جوا إلى الطواف بالبيت والصفا والمروة والرمي الجمرة
الجمار
لإقامة ذكر الله.
إقامة الذكر لله عز وجل تبارك وتعالى. نعم. يعني the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنه reported by Imam Ahmed from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, indeed جعل الطواف بالبيت. إنما جعل الطواف بالبيت. يعني that indeed the tawaf, the circumambulation of the house of the Kaaba, it has been legislated for this reason and this reason alone. That is, يعني what? The establishment of the remembrance of Allah. The tawaf of the house, and as well the tawaf or sa'i between Safar and Marwa, and as well the ramyu, yani the throwing of the stones at the jimar, yani the jamarat. That these things, tawaf of the bait, and the sa'i between Safar and Marwa, and the throwing of the stones have been legislated for the establishment of the remembrance of Allah. And again, yani the scholars say that although these three things were mentioned, it's not limited to them. These are just examples of some of the most important actions of Hajj, which show that these actions and other actions of Hajj and all actions for obedience to Allah, that they all have been legislated for this particular purpose, that is, the establishment of the remembrance of Allah. And the fifth question, memorize the hadith, which states that the dhikr of Allah is the best, purest, and loftiest of all deeds. Naam. Anybody memorize this hadith? Very important hadith. Even in English or in Arabic. Naam. Tafadhal.
I don't know the narrator of the hadith.
Okay.
But I think the hadith is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu nabbiukum.
Allahu nabbiukum. Aw?
Bi afdali a'malikum wa astaha inda rabbikum wa khayrun lakum min infaq al-dhahab wal fidda. And then the companion said, well, I have said,
Naam. And there's a little small part also added to this hadith. Naam.
In the
Malikikum.
الذهب
والورق يعني ورق means فضة نعم
وأن فخير أعمى
وخير لكم
بأن تلقوا عدوكم وتدربوا أعناقهم ويدربوا أعناقكم
نعم
قال ذكر الله
Al-Dhikrullah. Now, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in this hadith, shall I not inform you of yani khayru a'malikum, yani bi khayri a'malikum, the best of your deeds. And then he said, what? That it is, yani the purest of your deeds, عند malikikum, yani with your king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purest of your deeds. And then he said, what? وَعَرَفَعِهَا يعني في درجاتكم and the highest in يعني your degrees يعني to raise you to the highest degrees and that it is better for you than infaq يعني spending gold and silver يعني in charity in the way of Allah and it is better for you than أن تلقى عدوكم and than meeting your enemies while you will strike their necks and they will strike your necks. Yani meaning that you will fight in jihad, and you will kill them, and they will kill you. Better for you than that. And they said, Bala, yani what is it? Yani for sure, tell us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the remembrance of Allah. And if anybody reflect on this hadith, it's crystal clear that from that this the Prophet ﷺ is making clear, this is the best of your deeds. And then he gives examples of what is better than. Yani it's the best of your deeds, the purest of your deeds, the highest in raising you in degrees, and it's better for you than spending gold and silver in the way of Allah, and it's better for you than fighting in jihad in the way of Allah. What is it? It is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the, you know, and this hadith should be an encouragement for us, really. We need to read it and reflect upon it, and maybe memorize it so that we can recite it often, so that we can be reminded often of the value, the level, the status, the importance of the dhikr of Allah. And this dhikr of Allah, of course, yani it's not just words on the tongue, but yani it should start from the heart and be upon the tongue as well. Yani, but it has to come from the heart. Yani, if yani the greater value is that it is in the heart. And we don't say that there's no value in remembering Allah in the tongue, but yani what is greater than that is remembering Allah in the heart. The sixth question mentioned the noble qaida principle, which shows that the greatness of reward is relative to one's dhikr of Allah. Anybody remember this principle that the Shaykh mentioned and Ibn Qayyim also mentioned it? Naam. Abu Sa'id.
The greatest thing is the reward that the one who remembers Allah the most in that act.
In that act. Yani the greatest people in reward, yani عظم الناس أجرًا. The people who receive the greatest reward are those who remember Allah the most. Yani in any particular act, the greatest reward for the people who do that act, yani a lot of people are praying, the one who received the greatest reward of the people who pray is the one who remembers Allah in that act of praying the most. And the greatest in reward of the people who give charity are those who remember Allah the most from the people who give charity. Who remembers Allah the most in that act of charity, then those are the people who receive the greatest reward. Naam. So this is also very, very important, that when a person is engaged in any act of worship, since this act of worship has been legislated for the purpose of remembrance of Allah, then what better thing to be engaged in while you engage in any act of worship than the purpose for which it's legislated? And it's intended what? To, and it causes us to be constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh question mentioned the three maratib, yani the levels of dhikr from the highest level to the lowest level. The three marat Mustafa, naam. Huh? He said the first level is in the heart. Huh? Is it the first level? The first level is the dhikr bil qalb wa dhikr bil lisan, ma'an. The heart and the tongue combined together. Naam. And the second level is the dhikr of Allah bil qalb wahda, yani remembrance of Allah by the heart alone. And the third level is remembrance of Allah on the tongue alone. So the highest level is what? The remembrance of Allah from the heart and upon the tongue together. Question number 8. Summarize Iman according to Ahl Sunnah with the author's mention of some of its causes of increase and decrease. Now, summarize the definition of Iman according to Ahl Sunnah. Abu Jamil.
That Iman increases and decreases.
Okay, it increases and decreases. And it increases with obedience to Allah and good deeds, and decreases by sins. And yani, what do you say? Dhunub and ma'asi, disobedience to Allah. Yani, before that, before increase and decrease is a part of the definition of Iman, right? But before increase and decrease, naam, Ibrahim. Naam. First part of the definition is that Iman is i'tiqad, it's a conviction that's in the heart, and it's speech on the tongue, and it's actions of the limbs of the body, yani actions that a person does. And then, many of the scholars added to this part of the definition, this very important point, and that is that Iman increases and decreases. Because some people might say that Iman are these three things, including the conviction in the heart, and the speech on the tongue, and the actions of the limbs, but they don't agree on this point, that Iman increases and decreases. And this is a very critical point in the definition of Iman from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And even though, we didn't mention in the definitions that we mentioned last week, but also some of the scholars said very importantly, that the levels of Iman of the people vary. That people are not the same in the levels of Iman. And also from the things that the Shaykh mentioned, from increase of Iman, the things that increase of Iman, he said, what else did he say besides good deeds? He said, now, repentance. He said, dhikrullah and ta'at and obedience to Allah and repentance to Allah and iqbal alayhi, and also turning to Allah, being eager in turning to Allah and doing acts of obedience to Him. And from the things that he said that caused decrease of Iman, he said, now, Abu Sayyid, disobedience, heedlessness, and distractions, naam. And sins and disobedience and heedlessness. And being engaged in those things that cause a person to be distracted from the remembrance of Allah. Al-lagu wal-lahu, naam. And question number 9, complete the ayat, the meaning of which is, when my servants ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, from the Quran, second surah, 186 ayat. Anybody over here on this side? Complete this ayat. And my servants ask you concerning me now. Of Musa. Naam. Yani the meaning of this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, yani if my servants are asking you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about me, فَأَنِّي قَرِيب, then I am near. Allah is saying He is near. And He's near. Ask Him directly. And then He said, definitely He answers the call of the one who calls upon Him, the one who supplicates to Him. If He calls upon Him, or when He calls upon Him. But then Allah ends the ayah, and this is the shahid of the hadith actually, that Allah says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ دَعِي ذَا دَعَانِ, I answer the one who calls upon me if he calls upon me. So it's very important that we ask Allah. It's important that we ask. If we ask, He answers. But if we don't ask, then what? But Allah ends the ayah by saying, "Fal yastajibu li." Then they must, "Fal yastajibu li," they must answer me. "Wal yu'minu bi," and they must believe in me. And the scholars of tafsir, they say that these are two conditions for a person to be rightly guided. La'allahum yarshudun, that they will be guided by what? By them having iman and answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He calls upon us. And the last question, to complete the author's description of the hal, or the condition of the hujjaj, the pilgrims to Mecca who have left their land. Yani, complete the author's description of the hujjaj, pilgrims who have left their land. Naam. Fadl. Naam. Okay, they are the guests or delegates of Ar-Rahman. What is their hal? Yani, what condition are they in? The guest of Ar-Rahman. Naam, what is their condition? Yani, person going to perform Hajj. Naam. They left their land.
Enduring difficulties.
Okay, enduring difficulties of travel.
Leaving
their families. What else? Naam. Abandoning their usual clothing, putting on this humble dress of Rida and Izar. And then, yani, in this condition, humbly, yani, traveling on from the Miqat to Mecca, reciting the Talbiyah. Yani, this important, yani, call, or yani, dhikr, that the pilgrim who is answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to visit his house is reciting Labaik, Allahumma Labaik, Labaika, La Sharika, Laka Labaik, Innal Hamda wa Ni'mata, Laka wal Mulk, La Sharika Lak. Yani, this is the description of the condition of the pilgrim who, yani, in order to perform Hajj, a person has to leave behind their family and their wealth and their all of their, yani, personal interests. They have to leave all those things behind, and then they have to bear hardships of traveling to Mecca, maybe with great difficulty. Even if they're flying on planes, that doesn't mean that it's easy. There's still difficulty in traveling. Now, not like it was before, that's for sure, but there's still difficulty. And when they reach the Miqat, then they have to, yani, make a change that is very strange. That is, yani, to remove their normal clothing and wear these two pieces of cloth. It's for the men. And this is really something that should affect the mind of a human being whose heart is alive. And wearing those clothing should keep a person focused. That this is some special condition or state that a person is engaged in. And then when they start reciting this talbiyah, yani, that's the completion of the affair. If a person is concentrating and reflecting on the meaning of what is happening and their condition and what they are going through and why they have left all of this behind, then perhaps, inshallah, Allah will grant them the tawfiq to achieve, yani, the success of earning His pleasure, His good pleasure, and His reward and forgiveness of their sins, and a change in their life in this world. Naam, before the next. This is what we covered last week, and let's immediately go into the next topic, yani, for tonight. The six al-maqsid as-sadis, yani, the sixth objective or goal of Hajj, yani, ta'amiq al-istijaba lillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ta'amiq al-istijaba, yani, deepening in one's heart and in one's soul, al-istijaba lillahi, yani, one's responsiveness to Allah the Blessed and the Most High. Yani, from the objectives of the pilgrimage, from the great objectives of the pilgrimage, min maqasid al-hajj al-azima, ta'amiq al-istijaba lillahi. By the way, Abu Jamil, you have some copies of the book? Is there anybody who needs an Arabic copy of this book? Arabic. Yani, okay, we have 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's a brother over here. Now, yani, may Allah reward the person who copied these books for us. But brothers, don't waste them. Please don't waste them. Brothers, sisters, one more. And if the sisters need, can they just send us a message if the sisters need an Arabic copy? Abu Jamil, I know the sisters needed at least two the last time, but if they need more than that, they should let us know. Maybe you can send them three copies if you have, if it's sufficient. Jamil? Abu Jamil, I'm sorry. Naam. Min maqasid, we are reading on page 29, the sixth objective or goal of Hajj. Min maqasid al-hajj al-azima, ta'amiq al-istijaba lillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. وامتثالي لأمره وتواعيتي له سبحانه وتعالى والانقياد لشرعه. يعني, from the goals the great magnificent goals and objectives of the pilgrimage is deepening one's responsiveness. Yani trying to dig down deep into one's heart and soul to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the deepest of one's heart and one's soul, yani answering His call. As al-istijaba lillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wal-imtithal li-amrihi. In compliance and obedience to His command. Wa tawa'iyati lahu. And obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-inqiyad. Submission and surrender li-shara'ihi. To that which He has legislated. Yani this is one of the goals and objectives of Hajj, and indeed every Muslim is in need of trying to deepen, yani to make deep-rooted one's sincere yani state of responsiveness, desire to respond, to comply, to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. وَهَذَا مَقْصِدٌ عَظِيمٌ جَلِيلٌ مِنْ مَقَاصِدِ الْحَجِّ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ نَتَّنَبَّهَ لَهُ. Yani this is a great noble, lofty objective or goal from the goals of the pilgrimage that it is incumbent upon us to pay attention to. Yani to pay attention to this. The state of our responsiveness to the call of Allah, to the command of Allah in every affair. وَيَبْرُزُ هَذَا الْمَقْصِدِ فِي مَجَالَةْ عَدِيدَ فِي الْحَجِ. And this particular objective comes clear, yani emerges and stands out in many areas or fields of the pilgrimage. مِنْ أَهَمِّهَا وَعَظَمِهَا التَّلْبِيَةِ. And from the most important of those areas where this particular goal objective yani becomes yani stands out from amongst the most important of those places in the Hajj or those aspects of the Hajj where we see this particular maqsad being very apparent and standing out is from the most important of them and the greatest of them is the talbiyah, which is repeated by the pilgrim tens of times and perhaps hundreds of times, yani in accordance with the activeness of the pilgrim in reciting the talbiyah. Yani some people are more engaged in the talbiyah than others. Some of them are casually reciting it now and then, and some people are really engaged, submerged in this state of recitation of the talbiyah. Hopefully, inshallah, with knowledge, consciousness and awareness of the meaning of these words and their significance, that a person is saying this, realizing the meaning of the words that they are saying. Otherwise, of course, people are saying it without even reflecting on what they are saying, let alone knowing the meaning of it. How many people actually know the meaning of the talbiyah? This is very important. But even if a person knows the meaning and they don't ponder and reflect upon it when they are reciting it, so the value, yani, is decreased for sure. وَهِيَ كَلِمَاتِ إِسْتِجَابَةٍ وَامْتِثَالٍ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani these words of the talbiyah are words that signify responding and compliance with the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَفِي التَّلْبِيَةِ تَتَقَرَّرَ كَلِمَةُ لَبَّيْكَ أَرْبَع مَرَّاتٍ. And during the talbiyah, in the recitation of the talbiyah, this one word, labbaik, yani is repeated four times. Yani in the first line of the talbiyah, labbaika, Allahumma labbaik, labbaika, la sharika laka, labbaik. This one word is repeated four times in one line. And the meaning of it, the Shaykh says, وَهِيَ كَلِمَةٌ إِسْتِجَابَةٌ. It is a word of response, responding, responsiveness. Meaning, أنا مستجيب لك يا الله. I am, yani, answering, responding to you, O Allah. ممتثل لأمرك, yani, in compliance to your command. ومنقاد لشرعك, and also in complete, yani, submission and surrender to your law, to that which you have legislated. Yani, I am responding to you, O Allah, yani, in obedience and compliance to your command and in submission and surrender to what you have legislated. Da'awtani li hajji baytik, faqultu labayk Allahumma labayk. Yani, oh Allah, you have invited me to perform the pilgrimage to your house, and I have said, yani, in response to your invitation, here I am at your call, at your command, oh Allah, here I am at your command. Labayk Allahumma labayk. Yani, this is a tremendous word. This one word of the talbiyah, labayk, it is of great importance, and when a person is reciting it, they should be understanding what they are saying, that, oh Allah, I am responding, I am answering, I am in compliance, I am in submission to your call and your command, and what you have legislated, you have called me, yani, to perform pilgrimage to your house, and I have responded, I am at your service, at your command, oh Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the 22nd surah, 27th ayat, surah al-Hajj, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, and proclaim or announce to the people the, yani, the command to perform the pilgrimage, yani, to the house in Mecca. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا, yani, the people will come to you in a condition of رِجَالًا, yani, on foot. Yani, رِجَالًا here means what? That their condition in their coming will be that they will come walking. وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ, and they will come on every lean camel. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ, and they will come to you from every mountain pass. Yani, meaning from every direction, from every place in the earth. فَجَاءَتْ الْإِجَابَ, yani, Allah, yani, is saying here in this ayat, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, proclaim to the people, yani, the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform pilgrimage to his house. فَجَاءَتْ الْإِجَابَ مِنْ أَهْلَ الْإِيمَانِ لِنِدَاءِ الرَّحْمَنِ بِأَنْ قَالُوا لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَيْكَ. So the response came from the people of Iman. Yani, some people didn't respond, but this is the response that comes from the people of Iman to the call of Ar-Rahman, that they said, here I am, O Allah, at your command. Here I am at your command. That is, نَحْنُ مُسْتَجِيبُونَ لَكَ يَا Allah. Yani, we are answering your call, O Allah. We are in obedience, in compliance to your command, and we are in submission to, yani, what you have called us to. We are in compliance and obedient to that which you have called us to. وَتَكْرَارُ كَلِمَةِ اللَّبَيْكِ فِي التَّلْبِيَةِ فِيهِ تَأَكِيدٌ لِلْإِسْتِجَابَةِ. And here the Shaykh, he says, the repetition of this word, labayk, being repeated in the talbiyah, in it is an indication of ta'akid lil-istijabah, yani, affirmation and confirmation of one's response. Yani, you're saying, here I am, here I am, here I am, at your command. Again and again and again, for affirmation and confirmation, there's no doubt, I'm at your command. فَقَوْلُكَ لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَيْكَ, so you're saying, لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَيْكَ, it means, yani, its meaning is, istijabatun min ba'da istijabatun. Yani, that you are responding with a response, one after another. Response after response after response. وَإِنْقِيَادٌ مِنْ بَعْدَ إِنْقِيَادٍ, and compliance and surrender after compliance, yani, again, continuously, continually, ongoing. Yani, not in compliance once to one affair and then, yani, leaving the remainder, but rather in obedience and response, in compliance, imtithalun ba'da imtithal, obedience after obedience. That means that a person during the Hajj, and rather a Muslim during our life, must constantly be in obedience to Allah, must constantly respond to the call of Allah, must constantly comply with what Allah has legislated for His believing servants. وَيُشْرَعُ لِلْمُلَبِّي أَنْ يَرَفَعَ سَوْتَهُ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ عَنْ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ. And it is legislated in the Sharia for the person reciting the talbiyah that they raise their voice with this recitation. As it has come in the hadith from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, Jani Jibril, that the angel Jibril alayhi salam came to me and he said, Ya Muhammad, mur ashabaka falyarfa'u aswatahum bitalbiyah. That Jibril said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Muhammad, command your companions that they raise their voices with this talbiyah. فَإِنَّهَا, yani, فَإِنَّهَا, the talbiyah, فَإِنَّهَا مِن شَعَائِرِ الْحَجِّ. Because indeed, this recitation of these words, the talbiyah, are from the signs or symbols or manifestations of the pilgrimage. In this hadith, the Shaykh said, is reported by Ahmed and others, and its isnad is sahih. And its narrators are all thiqat, and rather, they are from the narrators of the Shaykhain, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim, except two of them, and those two are also thiqatan, yani two reliable narrators. The hadith is also reported by Ibn Majah, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, and al-Tabarani and Hakim. And the Shaykh summarized it, he said, reported by Ahmed and other than Ahmed. So add to that, yani reported by Ahmed and Ibn Majah and Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban and al-Hakim and al-Tabarani and others. The Shaykh, he says here, and it has also come, yani concerning the raising of the voice with Talbiyah, and it also has come from the Prophet alayhi salam, أَنَّهُ سُعِلَ مَالْحَجِ. He was asked, what is the Hajj? And the Prophet said, Al-Ajj wa-Thajj. What is Al-Hajj? Al-Ajj wa-Thajj. Wal-Ajj huwa rafa al-sawt bil-talbiyah. Al-Ajj is the raising of the voice with talbiyah. And yani it also is mentioned in one of the narrations, Sheikh doesn't mention it here, that Al-Thajj huwa nahru al-budni. Yani it is the sacrificing of the camel, or the slaughtering of the animal. Yani the meaning of Hajj is what? Al-Ajj wa-Thajj. Al-Ajj means the raising of the voice with talbiyah, and al-Thajj means the sacrificial animal that a person slaughters during the Hajj. These are two critical, essential aspects of Hajj, the talbiyah and the slaughtering of the animal. ورفع الصوت بالتلبية له معنى عظيم وأثر جليل على العبد في تحقيقه الاستجابة والامتثال لأمر الله سبحانه وتعالى. And the raising of the voice with talbiyah, it has a magnificent meaning and it has a lofty, noble effect upon the worshipper in realizing al-istijaba wal-imtithal, yani one's responsiveness and compliance or obedience to the command of Allah. Yani this raising of the voice, it has a tremendous meaning, but it also has a great and noble effect upon the worshipper in realizing, in achieving one's responsiveness and being in compliance to the command of Allah. It has come in the hadith reported by Al-Tirmidhi from Sahal radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, and this hadith is tremendous hadith, ma min muslim yulabbi illa labba man an yameenihi. And some of the narrations said ma an yameenihi, and yani both of them are correct, man an yameenihi aw an shimalihi min hajarin wa shajarin aw shajarin أو مضر حتى تنقطع الأرض من ها هنا وها هنا. And the Shaykh says this hadith reported by Al-Tirmidhi في جامعه, يعني in his book Al-Jami, which is known to us as what? The Sunan of Al-Tirmidhi. And it's also reported by Ibn Majah, and Shaykh Al-Albani said that the hadith is sahih. And what is this hadith reported by Sahal رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما من مسلم يلبي. There is no Muslim who recites this talbiyah إلا لبى من عن يمينه. Except that whoever or whatever is on his right will also begin to recite the talbiyah, and whoever or whatever is on his left will also recite the talbiyah. من هجرين, from stones, وشجرين, and trees, and مذرين, and even clods of mud or clay, حتى تنقطع يعني تنتهي يعني until it reaches the whole of the earth, يعني الأرض من ها هنا وها هنا, يعني from the east and from the west, يعني until there are creatures in the earth, trees and stones and mountains and otherwise, that are also repeating this talbiyah in response to the Muslim who is reciting it. And in this hadith reported by Al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, Shaykh Al-Albani said that it's sahih. And one of the scholars, يعني Al-Mula Ali Al-Qari, in his explanation of this hadith, he says, in this hadith is a clear indication على إدراك الجمادات والنباتات الأمور الواقية في الكائنات. يعني in this hadith is a clear indication that inanimate things as well as plants and growth, يعني that they have إدراك, they comprehend الواقية, the things that are happening in the كائنات, in the creation. They comprehend وَعِلْمِهَا بِرَبِّهَا, and they have knowledge of their Rabb. يعني inanimate things and animate things, they have knowledge of their Rabb. مِنْ تَوْحِيد الذات وَكَمَال الصِّفَات, يعني they have knowledge of the tawheed of Allah's ذات, that He is one, and His صِفَات, that He is unique in His صِفَات. They have knowledge of this. This is in the explanation of Mishkat al-Masabi, Mirqat al-Mafati, by, as I said, Al-Mullah Ali Qari, rahimahullah. He died in the year 1014, yani from previous century, from earlier time, from the scholars of, yani the Hanafi scholars. And the Shaykh, he mentions this in reference to this hadith, and this meaning that he brings here, which is a very beautiful meaning, yani also is confirmed in some of the books of tafsir from yani some of the well-known scholars of tafsir, and in reference to the ayah that the Shaykh mentions after this. So here, Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah, he says, so when a person is reciting the talbiyah, and they are raising their voice with the talbiyah, then indeed the trees, and the stones, and the mountains on that person's right, on your right and on your left, they are also yani reciting the talbiyah. Even if we don't hear their voice, yani the sound of the talbiyah from the trees and the stones and the mountains, except illa annana min dhalika ala yaqeen, except that we are certain about this. We don't have any doubt about it, even though we don't hear them, and that is because we have been informed about this from as-sadiq al-masduq, the one who is truthful and who is believed. That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alladhi la yantiq an al-hawa, who doesn't speak from his desires, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. وَمِنْ شَوَاهِدْ ذَلِكَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, and that which bears witness to this in the Qur'an is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah and 44th Ayat, تُصَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ, تُصَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ, يعني that the seven heavens and the earth and whoever and whatever is in them, yani declare the tasbih of Allah, yani that Allah is perfect and free from any imperfection or shortcoming. The praise and glorification of Allah, that literally means the declaration of Allah's perfection. Naam. And then he says, wa in min shay'in illa yusabbihu bihamdihi, and there's nothing, yani in the creation, except that it declares the tasbih and the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَصْبِيحَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Yani in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring that indeed, yani as is mentioned in this hadith, everything in the creation declares the tasbih and the praise and glorification of Allah. Yani the seven heavens and the earth and whoever and whatever is in them, there's nothing from amongst them except that they declare the tasbih of Allah, except that we don't understand their tasbih, yani because their tasbih, yani is in a language other than our language, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comprehends it completely. I know that the time is upon us. Wallahu musta'an. Quickly, I just want to mention from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, please go back and read it, where Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah declares, yani in the tafsir of this ayat, that the seven heavens and the earth and whatever is between them of the created beings all declare Allah's perfection, and being free from what the mushrikeen have said about him, and they bear witness to his wahdaniyya fi rububiyyatihi wa ilahiyyatihi. Yani that the seven heavens and the earth and everything that is in them declare, yani the creatures, the created beings, declare Allah's wahdaniyah, that He is one in His rububiyyah and He is one in His ilahiyyah, His right to be worshipped. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, yani that there is nothing except that it declares His praise and glorification from the animals that speak and those which do not speak, and from the trees and the plant life and inanimate beings, from that which is living and that which is dead. All of them declare His praise and His glorification, bilisan al-hal wa lisan al-maqal. Yani their condition as well as their actual speech declare the praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that we don't understand their speech. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Sabah, 34th Surah and 10th Ayat, yani in reference to the Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, yani Allah says, yani from the favors that He gave to Dawood is that He said, ya jibalu أَوِّبِي مَعْهُ وَالطَّيْرِ, yani that Allah called on the mountains and the birds to declare the glorification and praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with Dawood alayhi salam. So this talbiyah that is repeated many, many times on the tongue of the pilgrimage, the hajj, the pilgrim, the one who's performing hajj, it is repeated again and again and again, ليس تكرارها أمرا لا معنى له وترذادا لا فائدة من ورائه حاشا وكلا بل إن هذا التكرار من شأنه أن يعمق في قلب الحاج الاستجابة لله عز وجل والامتثال لأمره. يعني that this repetition many times over and over again of the talbiyah on the tongue of the pilgrim, this repetition is not something that has no meaning to it, or this frequent repetition is not something that has no benefit from it. No way. Rather, this repetition from its meanings, or from that which comes from it, is an yu'ammiqa fi qalb al-hajj al-istijaba lillahi wal-imtithali amrihi. That it causes the responsiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be deepened, to be deep-rooted in the heart of the pilgrim. And it causes the responsiveness of the pilgrim to Allah to become deep-rooted, not just something on the tongue, but to reach the depths of his heart or her heart and his or her soul. Yani to be responsive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be compliant with His command. Yani if a person recites these words again and again and again, knowing their meaning and reflecting upon their meaning, believing in the truthfulness of it, then no doubt, yani the responsiveness and compliance and yani obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command will become deep rooted in the heart and the soul of the person performing the pilgrimage or whoever is saying these words. And rather, this meaning is applicable to adhkar. In general, that if a person continually recites the dhikr of Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, wa la ilaha illallah, understanding the meaning of those words and pondering and reflecting upon their meaning, it will cause their meaning and the effect of it to become deep-rooted in the heart of the human being. And this is the real benefit of dhikr, yani, and that's why it has to come from the heart, but it also has to be with contemplation and reflecting on the meanings. A person has to know what are the meanings of these words. Not just the translation. Yani subhanallah means glory to Allah. Yani that's the meaning of subhanallah. That's the translation. What does it actually mean though? Huh? That's the point, that we have to know the meaning of these words. And that's why the books of supplication, where the meanings of the supplication, the adhkar and adhiyah, are explained by the scholars, are so beneficial. Because the person begins to understand their meaning, and then they're able to ponder and reflect upon the magnificence of these words and the consequences of the recitation of them. This, yani, repetition and its deepening in the heart of the pilgrimage, the one's responsiveness and obedience and compliance to the command of Allah, ليس فقط في مكة وفي تنقلات بين المشاعر بل في حياة الحاج كلها. Rather, this is something that it doesn't just affect the person during the performance of Hajj and they're going from one place and another during the Hajj. Rather, it should affect the pilgrim in the whole of their life, yani for the rest of their life. فَيَا مَنْ دَعَاكَ اللَّهُ لِلْحَجِ. So, oh, the one who Allah has invited to perform the pilgrimage. And then you have responded to his call. And then you came intending his ancient house, yani intending, seeking to go, making your goal his ancient house, hoping for his mercy and fearing his punishment. كيف حظك ما بقية الأوامر. So what is your share from the other commands of Allah, the remaining commands of Allah? You have responded to his call for Hajj. So what about, yani, where are you in reference to the other commands of Allah? كيف شأنك مع الصلاة. What is your, yani, affair with the Salat, which is the foundation of the deen, and it is the greatest of its pillars after the Shahadatain. What is your affair? What is your relationship with the Siyam? Yani in responding to Allah's call to fast. What is your yani affair with the Zakat? And what about with distancing oneself from the prohibitions and leaving off those things which have been forbidden? Yani meaning, if a person responds to the call of Allah to perform pilgrimage, so what about Allah's call to Salat and Zakat and Siyam and avoiding the things that He has prohibited? What is your yani affair with those things? Where are you in reference to those things? إن كنت ممتثلا فاحمد الله واسأله المزيد وإن كنت مفرطا مضيعا فحاسب نفسك قبل أن يحاسب في يوم الوعيد. Yani if when you examine yourself you find that you are in compliance what Allah's commands in reference to Salat and Zakat and Siyam and his, all of his commands and prohibitions, then praise Allah and ask Him for an increase in this condition. And if you have been of those who fell short and neglected the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then take account of yourself before account is taken on the day of Wa'id. Yani the day of threat of Allah's punishment. Naam. Du'ita ila salat wa hiya ahammu min al-hajj wa a'azam. You have been called to the salat, and it is more important and greater than the pilgrimage. You have been called to fasting, and it is more important and greater than the pilgrimage. And the Shaykh here has a long note, which we don't have time to read, but yani he's bringing the evidences, showing from two perspectives how the Salat and the Siyam are greater than the pilgrimage. In reference to yani the mention of these matters as the pillars of Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ said, Buni al-Islam ala khams, Shahadatain la ilaha illallah, first thing Shahadatain, then Salat, Zakat, Siyam, and Hajj last. And in terms of the revelation, the first thing that was revealed was Tawheed, and then Salat, and then Siyam and Hajj last. And this shows that these things, this two perspectives that the Shaykh brings, he brings a lengthy discussion concerning this, but it's kind of lengthy and the time is short. So the Shaykh is saying here that you have been called to Salat and it's more important than Hajj. And you have been called to Siyam and it's more important than Hajj. So if you are responding to the call for Hajj, what about your response to those things which are even more important? You have been called to the generality of the fara'id, the things that Allah has made obligatory upon us, and you have been called to avoid and to distance yourself from the muharramat, the things that Allah has prohibited. فَمَا وَاقِعُكَ أَيُّهَا الْمُلَبِّي. So what is your reality, the one who is yani reciting the talbiyah? What is your true reality while you're reciting this talbiyah? Examine yourself. What is your reality in reference to the call of Allah in general? Oh, the one who is repeating the words of the talbiyah at the bait of Allah, and in one's going back and forth between the mashayir of the hajj, of the pilgrimage. Yani, what is your true reality? Ma'a awamirillah wa farad al-Islam. What is your reality? What is your situation? Yani, how do you see yourself in reference to the commands of Allah and the things, the obligations of Islam? And the Shaykh, he closes this point by saying, and this is a question that we can ask ourselves in general, أَيَلِيكُ بِمُسْلِمْ أَنْ يَرْفَى سَوْتَهُ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ فِي الْحَجِ ثُمَّ إِذَا نُودِيَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ لَا يُلَبِّي النِّدَاءِ. Yani, is it befitting of a Muslim to raise one's voice with the talbiyah during the pilgrimage, and then when you are called to salat, you don't answer the call? وَإِذَا دُعِيَ إِلَى الصِّيَامِ لَا يُلَبِّي النِّدَاءِ. And if you are called to fast, to the fasting, and you don't answer the call? And if you are called to distance yourself from the prohibited things and sins, and you don't answer the call? أَيَلِيكُ بِمُسْلِمْ. Is this yani befitting of a Muslim to be in this condition, to be raising your voice with talbiyah, saying, oh, I'm at your command, O Allah, I'm at your command again and again and again, and then when Allah calls, you don't answer? وَلِهَذَا يَنْبَغِي أَنَّ نَسْتَشْعِرْ أَنَّ التَّلْبِيَةَ وَأَعْمَالَ الْحَجِّ تُعَمِّقْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا الْإِسْتِجَابَ لِلَّهِ وَالْإِمْتِثَالِ لِأَمْرِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. For this reason, it is incumbent upon us to be conscious, to be aware, to call to mind that the talbiyah and all of the deeds of the pilgrimage deepen in our hearts our responsiveness to Allah and our obedience and compliance to His command, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many are the people who Allah has honored that they benefited from their pilgrimage and they returned to their land ala khayri halin wa ala ahsani ma'alin, in a better present condition and also in a better condition they will be in the end. Yani, meaning they changed their life so that they came back in a better condition and they will end up in the end in a better condition. Hifdhan li awamiri lil awamiri wa bu'dan an an-nawahi. Yani, what is their better condition? That they are protecting and guarding and preserving the commands of Allah, and they are distancing themselves from the things that Allah has prohibited. Wa tahqiqan li taqwa Allah. And they actually realized this condition or this state of taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And for this reason it came during the ayats of the pilgrimage of Hajj, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 190, 7th ayat, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, and take provisions, yani for the journey of Hajj, provisions, food and drink and stuff like that. And Allah is telling the people, don't go to Hajj without provisions. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. But the best of provisions is that a person has taqwa. وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So fear me, O men of understanding. And in the little time that's remaining, inshallah, we're going to take one more of the maqasid of Hajj. And this one the Shaykh is very brief in. Al-maqsid, al-sabi', and the seventh objective of Hajj. And that is shuhud manafi' al-hajj al-azimah. Yani witnessing or achieving, attaining the great benefits of Hajj. Yani from the objectives of Hajj is that a person be conscious and aware of achieving, of realizing, of attaining the benefits of Hajj. And the benefits of Hajj are different types. There are all types of benefits of Hajj. Some people go to Hajj, they didn't get any of the benefits. Or some people went to Hajj and they only got one kind of benefit. They made some money while they were on Hajj. They were a merchant and they brought some goods and they made a lot of money. And that's one kind of benefit of Hajj. That's permissible. But here the Shaykh is saying, what? Shuhud manafi al-hajj al-azimah. Tremendous, magnificent benefits of Hajj. Yani from the objectives and goals of the pilgrimage is shuhud manafi al-hajj al-azimah wa ibarihi al-mu'athira wa durusihi al-mutanawwi'a. Yani it is that a person witness, meaning be present for and seek to achieve and attain the benefits, the great benefits, the magnificent benefits of the pilgrimage and the examples that affect the human being and the lessons that are of different types. Yani there are things that happen during the Hajj that if a person pays attention to them, it will affect them. And there are lessons to be learned during the Hajj, different types of lessons. And a person should be seeking to achieve from these benefits, in addition to the other benefits that the Shaykh mentions, that is, yani the reward of Hajj, and the forgiveness of sins, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, yani Surah Al-Hajj 22nd, Surah 27th and 28th ayat, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, and proclaim to the people the pilgrimage, yani the obligation of making pilgrimage to the Kaaba. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ, and they will come to you on foot and on, yani every lean camel. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيكٍ, they will come to you from every, yani wide mountain pass, yani from every road, from every direction, from every place in the earth. And the end of this ayat, or the next ayat, 28th ayat, is the shahid of this, yani maqsad, this objective or goal. Yani proclaim to the people the Hajj, and they will come to you on foot and on every animal from everywhere. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. لِيَشْهَدُوا, لِي here is lam al-ta'lil, yani for the purpose of what? To witness, to be present for, to attain, to achieve مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, benefits for them. And this should be a goal, an objective of a person performing pilgrimage, that they should be seeking to attain, to achieve the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the Hajj for them. وَمَنَافِعْ الْحَجِّ وَفَوَائِدُهُ لَيُمْكِنْ حَصْرُهَا. Yani the benefits, the advantages that one may achieve from the pilgrimage, it's not possible to enumerate them all. وَعِبَرُهُ وَدُرُوسُهُ لَا يُمْكِنْ عُدُّهَا وَاسْتِقْصَاؤُهَا. And also the examples and lessons to be learned in the Hajj, it is not possible to count them or to, yani, go to the root of them. فَإِنَّ قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْآيَةِ مَنَافِعَ. For indeed, if we examine in this ayat the word manafi'a, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, so that they may, yani, be present, may witness and attain benefits for them. This word in this ayat, manafi'a, huwa jam'u manfa'a. Yani it is a plural word, meaning, yani the plural of that which is of benefit or profit, or yani some advantage that a person gets from something. It's a plural word. Wa nakkara al-manafi'a isharatan ila ta'addudiha wa tanawwu'iha wa kathratiha. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this word manafi'a, yani indefinite. He didn't make it definite. He said al-manafi'a, He said manafia, indefinite. And this is an indication of the ta'addud, yani its plurality, yani the great number of these benefits. وَتَنَوُّعِ يعني it's that it is of various types. The benefits are different types of benefits. وَكَثْرَتِهَا and that they are in abundance. That they are in abundance. Yani this linguist is the linguistic meaning. Yani that the Shaykh here says نَكْرَ الْمَنَافِيَ. Yani the fact that this word is made indefinite instead of definite is an ishara, an indirect indication of its yani being its great number and that it is of various types and that it is an abundance of them. وَشُهُودْ هَذِهِ الْمَنَافِيَ أَمْرٌ مَقْصُودٌ. And here the Shaykh also alludes to a linguistic meaning that can be understood from this ayat. وَشُهُودْ هَذِهِ الْمَنَافِيَ. And witnessing, being present for these benefits is أَمْرٌ مَقْصُودٌ. Yani it's something that is intended. مَقْصُودٌ. Yani Allah intended. He legislated, He intended that a person get these benefits from Hajj. And it's not by incidental that a person gets these benefits. Rather, Allah intended that a person comes to Hajj with this purpose in mind to get benefits. How is this understood? He said, this is Amrun Maqsood fil Hajj is Allam fi qawlihi li yashhadu manafi'a lahum lam al-ta'lil. And this is because the lam in the beginning of this word, li yashhadu, this lam is lam al-ta'lil, meaning the lamb that tells us that yani the reason or the purpose or the objective of something. So the purpose of the person, one of the purposes from the person coming, people coming to Hajj is liyashhadu, yani yashhadu manafi'a lahum, that they yani attain these all types of many multiple benefits. The Shaykh says, وَهِيَ مُتَعَلِّقَةٌ بِقَوْلِهِ وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ. And this لِيَشْحَدُ يعني is connected to the saying of Allah and announce to the people the Hajj, and they will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. That is, if you announce to the people the Hajj, the pilgrimage, they will come to you mushatan, walking, وَرُقْبَانًا and riding, لِيَجْلِ for the purpose of and يَشْحَدُ مَنَافِي الْحَجِ for the purpose of witnessing the benefits of Hajj. Yani literally witnessing is mentioned here. The Shaykh says the meaning of yashhadu is yahduruha, that they will be in attendance, they will be present for these benefits. Wal murad bihudurihim al-manafiya, and what is intended by their being present for these benefits, yani is husuluha lahum wa intifa'uhum biha. Yani that they actually achieve these benefits and that they benefit from them. Yani the Shaykh is giving here an explanation of this ayah, which is very interesting. And if you pay attention to it carefully, he's saying, لِيَشْهَدُ, it means لِيَحْضُرُ. And what is intended by لِيَحْضُرُ is, yani, hudur here means husul. لِيَحْسُلُ. Yani لِيَشْهَدُ, لِيَحْضُرُ, لِيَحْسُلُ. يعني ليشهدوا, to witness, it means ليحضروا, to be present, to be in attendance. It means what? ليحصل, to achieve, to attain these benefits and to benefit from them. And this is the meaning of the ayat. يعني subhanallah, يعني it's crystal clear then that from the goals and objectives that Allah intended for the person coming for Hajj is that they get these benefits, that they achieve from the benefits of the pilgrimage. And the Shaykh says in closing, ولهذا فإن من الحري بكل من وفقه الله عز وجل لهذا طاعة ويسر له أداء هذه العبادة أن يكون حريصا غاية الحرص على تحصيل منافع الحج. And for this reason, يعني for the reason of what the Shaykh has just mentioned, that this ayat clearly يعني makes us to know that Allah intended that people when they came to Hajj that they get these benefits. For this reason, it is befitting, it is appropriate for every person who Allah has given success to achieve this act of obedience. Whoever Allah has made it easy for a person to fulfill this act of worship, then it is incumbent, it is befitting of them that they be haris, ghayat al-hirs, and that they be eager, that they be diligent to the utmost in what? Ala tahseel manafi al-hajj, in achieving in attaining the benefits of Hajj. That a person go after it. Don't just be passive in Hajj. I'm there, I made it, alhamdulillah. Rather, Allah intends that you eagerly seek these manafia, multiple various types of benefits that He has placed in the performance of the Hajj. وَالْإِفَادَ مِنْ عِبَرِهِ وَعِظَاتِهِ. Yani that a person benefit from the examples and the lessons that one will witness during the Hajj, that you benefit from what you see and what you experience there. إِضَافَةً إِلَى مَا يُحَصِّلُهُ فِي حَجِّهِ مِنْ أُجُورٍ عَظِيمَةٍ وَثَوَابٍ جَزِيلٍ وَمَغْفِرَةً لِلذُّنُوبِ وَتَكْفِيرٍ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ. يعني that a person make note and take note of the examples and the lessons that a person may see or witness or experience in Hajj, in addition to what the person may achieve during the Hajj of the magnificent, yani rewards and the plentiful, yani rewards that Allah offers to the person who performs Hajj, in addition to the forgiveness of sins and the expiation, yani of one's expiation of one's shortcomings, yani major and minor sins, in addition to the forgiveness and expiation of a person's major and minor sins. Yani the great rewards that Allah offers for the person performing pilgrimage, in addition to the forgiveness of sins and expiation of sins, in addition to the lessons that a person may learn from the experiences of Hajj. And the Shaykh closes by saying, وَجَدِيرٌ بِمَنْ نَالَ هَذَا الرِّبْحِ وَفَازَ بِهَذَا الْمَغْنَمِ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى بَلَدِهِ بِحَالٍ زَاكِيَةٍ وَنَفْسٍ طيبة وحياة جديدة مليئة بالإيمان والتقوى عامرة بالخير والصلاح والاستقامة والمحافظة على طاعة الله عز وجل. And the Shaykh closes, and again, this is for the pilgrimage, but wallahi, it's not just for the pilgrimage, but rather we need to look at our lives in this kind of way, yani that we strive and struggle to earn the reward of Allah and His benefit. And we allow ourselves to, yani, to change and to be better and to be purified and to, yani, take on a new life. Yani, the Shaykh, he says here, so it is, yani, befitting of the person who has attained this ribh, yani, this profit, yani, what they achieved during the Hajj, wafaz bihaz al magnam, and who have been successful in getting this great benefit. It is befitting of such a person that they return to the land, Bihal and Zakia, yani that they come back in a condition of being purified. Yani perhaps in a condition of what? Of being free of sin. Of being free of sin. Yani there's no reward for the accepted Hajj except yani Jannah. Except Jannah. And Allah, yani for the person who performs Hajj sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, without engaging in those things that are prohibited or indecent behavior or illegal, impermissible sexual relations during the Hajj, this person will return in a condition just as they were on the day that the mother gave birth to them. So a person, yani, is befitting of a person who has achieved this to come back to their land in a condition of being purified and perhaps sinless, with a nafs, a soul, a spirit, yani high-spirited, yani nafsin tayyiba. Yani they shouldn't come back sad and disgusted and depressed and complaining about the hardship or difficulty. Rather, they should come back high-spirited. They should come back with a new life, yani ready to start life all over again, a different life, filled with iman and taqwa, and flourishing with khair and salah and istiqamah, yani with goodness and righteousness and uprightness, and al-muhafadha ala ta'atillah, and guarding and protecting and preserving obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani this is the end of the maqsad, yani the second of the two that we wanted to cover tonight. And yani indeed, yani this particular maqsad, yani indeed is there's no doubt that it is clear that it applies to the person performing pilgrimage, but in whatever way that anybody else can apply it to themselves in their daily life, in their worship and obedience to Allah, then apply it. Yani try to take yourself to a new level, try to do those things that يعني expiate for our sins, and that are means of forgiveness of our sins, and that earn the reward of Allah, His great rewards and bounties that He offer for us. And let's try to take our life to a new level. Let's change ourselves and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala success. Yani for those who are performing the Hajj this year, and for those who perform the Hajj in the future, and for those who may have already performed the Hajj, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us, and that He reward us, and that He make it a means of nearness to Him, and that we apply yani these principles or these goals and objectives, especially the goal of establishing or achieving tawheed and taqwa of Allah, and strengthening our iman, and earning the pleasure of Allah, and establishing the dhikr of Allah, that we apply these things in our daily life. May Allah grant us success. Indeed, He is the one who is able to respond, and He is the one who does whatever He wills. And He has promised that if we call upon Him, He will respond to us. Call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed He responds. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.